You are not to discuss this matter amongst yourselves.
We don't submit reports or ask approval for specific operations, if that's what you mean. We are an autonomous department.
Any questions?
Broadcasting from an abandoned subspace relay orbiting Risa, this is Section 31, gathering intelligence for you on Star Trek CCG. Now reporting in, operatives Dan and Rogue.
Welcome to Section 31, Episode 34. I am Rogue Schindler.
And I'm not Dan Hammond.
No, this week we have a special guest host. That's right, it's Captain Kirk, stepping over to the other side of the microphone this week to help us talk about our first tournament in our Spatial Rift season here in San Diego, in which we get our first taste of the new cards from Raise the Stakes. So Raise the Stakes is here. Finally here, printed out, cut up, legal, and in our binders, in our decks. We had our first tournament, and from what I hear, Matt, you were the biggest purveyor of said cards, as I understand it.
Or offender, I guess, depending on your definition. But yeah, I wanted to give a bunch of the cards another shot. I know when I worked on Undiscovered Country with Charlie and Brad, I was really... really wanted to get those new cards in the pool and try them out and see, and you know, see people playing them. So I felt I kind of owed the same kind of homage to the guys who the design team for Raise the Stakes. Went with the 40-point missions and a bunch of the four-cost guys. Didn't work out that well. I went 0-4, but I had a good time. So,
what affiliation did you play?
Well, for a while, I'd had the I'd been looking at Subliminal Signal, the thing that makes the dilemmas cost -3 if you consume one, and I'd been looking at that as a possible deck archetype for to help the dilemma pile out. But the problem was, whenever I'd play it, people would blow it up, and then I'd be, you know, up the creek, basically, because I wouldn't have anything to, you know, everything would be overcosted. So with Raise the Stakes, you get defensive measures for Deep Space Nine, which is basically like your 1E Rishon X bridge to protect your event. So I said, I'll give that a shot. So I knew I had to have at least six DS9ers to play it. So I went about making the most DS90est deck that I could. And along those lines, I went to, started with Necessary Evil decks, Problem Solver decks, because she protects events, or she at least cleans up after them after they get destroyed. So in the off chance I didn't get defensive measures out, then Subliminal Signal gets blown up. I can go throw underneath the deck with Dax. And then I remembered what you had been doing with Jake and Nog from Favor of the Bold, and I said, oh, hey, that'd be a good trick to throw in. So in they went. Along with some self-sealing stem bolts. Didn't use them once, but it was cool to have Nog toting around his self-sealing stem bolts.
So you have your equipment equipped with an equipment.
Right.
That's a lot of shenanigans.
Yes, it was a very shenanigan-y deck, and none of them worked. I take that back. Very, very rarely would they actually start falling into place. The only game where I actually got any kind of traction at all was against Dan, which was my first game in round two after my bye in round one. I was going to put the repair chief, Miles, in there to go along with the whole event destruction prevention thing. But then, you know, looking at Defiant and seeing all the pretty Gamma Quadrant 40-point missions that we had from Raise the Stakes, I was like, yeah, sure, I'll throw those in. So, of course, that dictated I go with the Resourceful Warship Defiant to get my Gamma Quadrant extra points whenever I played it. So I needed to play ships for cheap. So then I went to Non-Aligned Miles, and then came in all the DS9 engineers, and the deck kind of went from there.
Well, that sounds like a lot of things going on. But it definitely sounds like you made a go of the new Raise the Stakes cards. Did anybody else make a big show or as far as making a deck around a new card type, or did it seem like people were mostly sprinkling in to existing decks?
I got to be honest, I didn't see anybody playing with Raise the Stakes besides me. I could have missed something because I didn't try missions. I mean, I tried missions against Dan. People might have been using dilemmas, and I just didn't see them. But as far as predicting the metagame changing at all, like people going to more 40-point missions or using higher cost personnel, no. That was completely not the case. Everybody was playing 30-point missions, fast and cheap. You know, Johnny and Thomas were both playing Bajoran treachery guys and using Covenant and all the, you know, Basso Tromac to get bonus attributes and stuff. And Dan was playing Mirror Starfleet, and Franklin was playing his Ferengi deck again. So, yeah, it was not at all what I was expecting people to do with the new set.
Wow, I wonder if people just didn't have a lot of time to come up with new decks. I know that people were excited about the new cards, but I guess we just haven't had time to play with them yet.
See, I think they're just messing with me, because next time when I show up and I have all the cards to keep them honest for all the 40-point stuff, they're going to have all of it then, and I'm going to be, you know, extra cards in my deck that does nothing.
So,
yeah.
Well, one of the other things we did this season, as you know, but our listeners may not, we talk about it every now and then, but in general, here in San Diego, we try to talk, not every week, but on a regular basis, just to try to keep, I mean, our main focus is to keep the game fun for everybody, and if people aren't having fun, we generally try to see why not and what we can do about it. Our 1E format was a great result of that, making it sort of limiting things to keep the cheese down and keep the fun up. This past season, there are a number of subjects that came up, but one that really ended up being resolved was Admiral Kirk.
Yeah, I've been lobbying for this change for a long time. The fact that Kirk loses his Earth icon. Actually, I think we were going to extend it to all the TOS movie guys that got the Earth icon because of the precedent, but then we stepped back and just limited it to Kirk. My main purpose in trying to lobby for the errata is that he wasn't supposed to have the icon in the first place. It was put on, I mean, the first time it showed up was Genesis, on Kirk, Spock, Savick, and then the Enterprise. The only reason that it showed up on there was because at the time, these are the voyages had not been released yet, and so you without the Earth icon, you wouldn't actually be able to play them anywhere. There is the text on the Enterprise that says you can play this at Earth if your TOS guy is there, which that was it used to have the Earth icon on the Enterprise as well, and then that was the limiting factor. Said, oh well, okay, I guess we'll make it where you can play the Enterprise at your Earth as long as you've got one of the other guys. And, you know, it was a purely marketing decision, and it stayed that way. It never got looked at until maybe a couple years ago, as possibly doing some rules committee errata on it. But I've consistently been outvoted as far as the official stance on that. So more people want to see it stay the way it is than change it.
Well, that's because more people want to use the cheese with it in every deck, and I think that's just wrong.
Yeah, and part of the reason of his development, the reason he was so strong in development was because you could only use him with TOS. And at the time, TOS was pretty crappy unless you were playing him. And, you know, extending his power to basically 90% of Federation decks, barring a Mouth of the Wormhole Deep Space Nine deck, and you could even get him with that if you used Runabout Search or some other shenanigans to get him into play. But, you know, having him be available for that many different types of decks was not the original intention. And so this season, we had our little roundtable discussion after one of the tournaments, and we said, okay, for season 10, Kirk does not get the Earth icon, and everybody's basically happy. So we'll see how it plays out. Hey, 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 hey! So what have you been looking at for Raise the Stakes about what ideas have been turning around in your mind as you look at the cards?
Ironically enough, the last deck I played of the season last season was Cardassians, and I really like alternate Garrick, the sort of alternate cheater Garrick, because he's difficult to use but still pretty cool. You discard an AU card to give him any skill, and there's not a whole lot of AU Cardassians, and the ones that they do exist are not terribly useful. So what I did was I kind of took two ideas and put them together. A concept that has been around since the beginning of time, and yet I have never played it, which is comfort women, Cardassians, and some other affiliation. And I basically did a bunch of non-align AU guys. So it was half Cardi, half AU.
Oh, cool.
And played standard punishment and comfort women and a bunch of gulls and legates with processing the new processing events, Pillage of Bajor and Cardassian Protectorate and For All Our Sons, and basically kind of had I set up a nice set of skills that worked with those, and kind of had my own combo cheaters, which was, I don't know. It was funny. I basically asked my wife, which affiliation should I play? And what version of that affiliation should I play? And just kind of threw together a deck because I was sort of lost and it was the last minute. And I was actually quite proud of the idea that came out of that. And then the very first thing I saw in Raise the Stakes when the sheets came out were the AU commander and ship.
Right.
So
the Rakasa and...
I don't know. I kind of have an idea of a Cardassian deck that I want to build that does not involve that. But it seems kind of silly to... I mean, I have that deck built, and that would be a nice drop. And I could throw in a couple extra non-Cardies or non-AU Cardies to go with that, which would be interesting. So that's kind of what I was looking at. That and possibly a Dissident deck, one of my old Dissident decks, because that was one of the decks I used to have a decent amount of success with, and throw in the Vulcans.
Yes.
Because they look pretty mighty.
Vulcans, I have the non-aligned Vulcan deck on my bucket list for this season. Yeah, that's looking pretty, pretty hot. And fresh from the Tal Shiar headquarters archive, we have managed to pilfer the Series 2 promo gameplay exclusive card that's going to be debuted for regionals prizes for 2009, and it is Worf, Chief of Security.
This is the one we have been anticipating. We mentioned previously that there would finally be a yellow shirt Worf, and this is it. And he has got pretty much your typical stats, as you would expect. 4 cost, Worf, Chief of Security, Staff Star, TNG Icon, 858, very Worf. Anthropology, that I don't know that we've seen that on a Worf before. But then he comes with his standard array of skills, 2 Honor, Officer, and Security. And then his text is, a very nice tribute. It is, when your TNG personnel present is about to be stopped by a dilemma, you may stop this personnel instead. Hey, that sounds kind of familiar.
Yeah, it's kind of like Tal Shiar.
And then his lore is, I have been told that patience is sometimes a more effective weapon than the sword. That does sound, at the very least, it seems to be justification for his anthropology.
Yeah, and it's when he was on TNG and he was actually trying to be the domesticated Klingon.
Yes, he was learning.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So that sounds like a good, solid TNG Worf to go with the classic Enterprise-D crew. And it's coming to a tournament near you soon.
And if it's not, go register your own regional and run it yourself. And then you can get it by yourself and with 3 of your other friends.
You sound a little bitter there, Matt.
Well, let me just take this opportunity to sound off about the paranoia on the message boards about the gameplay exclusive card. This was an idea that had been bouncing around ever since we did the Peric foil last season for regionals, and that was really well received. And so we post this information, expecting people to be happy and say, "Oh, hey, now I have a reason to go to a regional." And instead, what we got was, "Oh no, people who go to regional are going to have extra options, and they're going to have more cards to play with than the people who don't go to regionals, and you're discriminating against those people who can't go to regionals." Everybody has the same access to this card. If you don't have a regional running in your area, bribe or cajole or find three other people somehow. It's not that hard. And just put together a tournament and label it regionals and put your application in, send it in. Any extras that come in your regionals kit that the TD does not give away, he or she is free to keep them for future distribution. So if you order a tournament kit that ends up with 10 dwarfs in it, you only get 6 people to show up, you got 4 to give away.
Well, as you can tell by me letting Matt get on his soapbox, we are all out of intelligence this week. On behalf of Sir Dan, who is absent, I am Sir Rowe.
And I'm Matt Kirk.
And we want to, as usual, thank Warp 11 for their kick-ass theme song. And I will remind all of you out there to expand your power in the universe.
And now that I've got 6 mirror Starfleet guys out there, I'll play Noble Intentions to End.
We mentioned previously on the show that there would finally be a yellow shirt war.
Yellow shirt war.